We went over one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and that was for the whole week. So this morning we will just go over that verse. I guess some of you, you know that we just had a live training on Exodus. In this time, there were 12 messages, and there were 3 on the matter of the Spirit. So we see this matter of the Spirit is very, very important. So this morning, I just like to go over some of the verses we enjoyed during the week, last week, concerning this matter of the Spirit. This verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 17, mentioned that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. In the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there are 3 verses mentioned that there are 2 spirits. So we can read them, and we can go over them a little bit. So we will have that we all will have some impression that this matter of the 2 spirits is in the Bible and is very, very crucial to a Christian life. Let's read the first verse, which is John 3:6. So this verse gave us very clear words concerning that God is spirit, and God has regenerated us, and our spirit has been born of the divine spirit. If you take attention, the 2 spirits, but one is capital, the other one is small, letter S. The capital spirit is the spirit of God, and the small spirit, small letter spirit, is the spirit of man. So it's very clear that our spirit, our Christians, we Christians, our spirit have been born of the divine spirit. So this is very clear words in John 3. Let's read John 4:24.
God is spirit, and those who worship Him
So this again is very clear. It mentioned that our God is spirit. So we should not come to Him in the physical kind of view that, you know, He is something physical. He is a spirit, you know, very clear. And according to the context, in fact, just like in 1 Corinthians, Paul was speaking concerning he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The context wasn't so hard because it's opposite. He who is joined to a prostitute is one flesh, one body. And then he suddenly said, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And in John 4, it's the same situation. In John 4, the Lord Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. He had 5 husbands, and the one that is with her is not her husband. In such a context, the Lord Jesus brought out, you know, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. So we see, you know, this is God's desire. Even with such a woman, God desired that he or she will be regenerated in her spirit. That even she will worship God in spirit. You read the context. Did she worship God in spirit?
She did.
Because in the context, the Lord was asking her for a drink, and then eventually the conversation ended with that. She asked the Lord for a drink, and after the conversation, she came to draw water, she threw the water pot, and she went away, and telling people, This is the Christ. So if you read the content, she drank the living water and she worshiped God. You know, even the Lord's table, what are we doing around the Lord's table? We are drinking the living spirit. We are drinking God. That is worship. That is the worship God is looking for. Of course, the physical cup, the blessing, the cup of blessing is a symbol. But in reality, we are drinking in our spirit. And we are worshiping God. So again, in John 4, we see very clearly there are two spirits. Let's read also Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So this is a verse concerning all of us. Once we receive the law, we have the divine spirit. We have the spirit of God within us. And we all can testify. Now we have been born of God and we are child of God. And when we say, I'm a child of God, according to this verse, the Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So when we say we are a child of God, the Spirit inside of us says, yes, you are a child of God. So this is the witnessing together. Both the Spirit Himself and our spirit. So all these three verses are very clearly revealed to us that there are two spirits, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it's so marvelous. Imagine that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay, I just like to go over a little bit. We know God became a man, the very creator of heaven and the earth. He was to be worshipped, but one day he came. Then how did this spirit came about in the New Testament? There is a process. So we can read some verses and we can see this process in a simple way. Let's read John 1:14.
And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us,
and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. And in John 1:1, imagine, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So this is a God became a man with a flesh. Before we go further with these verses, I just want to mention that in my own concept, I don't know God is spirit, and neither do I know that I have a spirit. All the Chinese think, you know, that human beings only have two parts. One is the visible part of physical body, and the other part is just the soul, maybe spirit. So all the Chinese spirit soul is a phrase. It's two words. It's one phrase composed of two words, spirit and soul. The Chinese doesn't split the two. Always say the two together. So that's, you know, I think a lot of people, they have this concept. Men only have two parts. Visible part, physical body. Invisible part, spirit, soul. This is called dichotomy. Man has only two parts. But the Bible doesn't say this way. So I just want to mention this. But through the Word, we can see it is not so. That's why the Bible is the Bible. The Bible tells us something for God. When God created man, man is not just two parts. Man has three parts.
Okay, let's just finish the process that God went through, and later we'll come back to a little bit to concerning man. John 1:14 mentioned that God became flesh, became a man. That's really 1 Corinthians 15:45. So
also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
This verse, along with John 1:14, the two verses tell us that God went through a process. It doesn't sound too good that God went through the process. But this is the fact. God, originally He was God. He is always God. But this God one day became a man with a human body. That is, the Word became flesh. So this is the first step. And the second step is, of course, He became a man, He had a human living, He lived on the earth, He did many things, but at the end of His life, He went to the cross. Then after 3 days, or in 3 days, He was raised. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, mentioned the last Adam, which is Christ in the flesh, became a spirit. So our God, originally God is spirit, He became flesh, He became a man with a physical body. But again, through death and resurrection, He became a spirit. Then you said, what's the difference between God is spirit and God became a the last Adam, God became a man. This man, who is God, became a life-giving spirit. In the New Testament, the picture is not so clear. But it's clear that God went through a process. Because in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, He mentioned that the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water, that water. So there was the Spirit of God already in the very beginning of the Bible. But that Spirit of God has only the divine element, does not have any humanity. But when God became a man, humanity was added. Was there in the man Jesus. But this man Jesus, after death and resurrection, He became a life-giving spirit. I just want to mention this for now. And later we'll go into a little bit more. Okay, that's also read 2 Corinthians 3:17.
And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
So this verse mentioned that today the Lord Jesus Christ, He is Spirit. He is Spirit, and He is also has the title in 2 Corinthians 3, also mentioned He is the Lord Spirit. A compound title. He's the Lord, He's the Spirit. He's the Lord Spirit. This matter concerning the Spirit in the New Testament, what we read shows us that God went through a process, became a man, eventually, after the human living, crucifixion, resurrection, He became a life-giving spirit. You know, that's what we enjoy around the Lord's table. You know, the bread signifies the Lord's physical body. He became a man. And the blood shows that he's a man with blood and the flesh. So the blood was poured out. That's the way the Lord died. Because man has become fallen, man has sins, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That's why he came to accomplish redemption for us. Then, after death and resurrection, he became the Spirit. This matter of the Spirit, in the Old Testament, has a very clear picture. Many things in the New Testament, in the clear words, we could not get the picture in Old Testament. There's a wonderful picture show us that the Lord is the Spirit today. So let's read the three verses in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in fact. That's why, you know, this time the 12 message, among 12 messages, the three concerning this matter of the Spirit. Let's read these verses together.
You also take the finest spices, going from the and the
If you read this portion of the word, that you will know that this anointing oil started with one hint of oil. And eventually, when it's concocted with all kinds of spices, and it became still the anointing oil, but in fact, it's a compound. It's not just something liquid. Because of the spices, it became a compound. And just in these three verses, it unfolds to us concerning the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. In these three verses, they are not just the spices are full of meaning. Even the numbers in these three verses are full of meaning. In these three verses, they are number one, the number one, and there's number two, and there's number three, and there's number four, and there's number five. Something interesting. And this reveals what's in this oil. We may say, it's what's in the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. What's in this spirit? For us to say, he who is joined to the Lord is the Spirit, we read. It's one spirit. It's a very simple sentence. But what's involved? Wow, it's beyond our languages. So in the Old Testament, it gave us such a picture. One signifies our God is one God. Besides him, there's no other gods. He is the only true God. But we see what? The one hint of oil. It signifies this God is the unique God, only God. But we see you know, there are four spices. Four spices. 500 shekels for the first one, 500 shekels for the last one. In the middle, two. It was 250 and 250. So there are three 500 shekels units. But the middle 500 was split in two, 250 and 250. So the two numbers here, the middle one, This signifies our God is unique God, is also the triune God. So there are 500 shekels, three times 500 shekels. So this signifies our God is the triune God. Our God is also a God in resurrection, because the Lord was raised on the third day. So in this ointment, which signifies the spirit, even the compound spirit, there is a God, unique God here, there is a triune God there, and there is also the second unit, the 500 shekels, because it's 250 and 250. These two put together is 500. When it's split, it becomes 250, 250. So this signifies the triune God, the middle one, which is the Son. The triune God is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The middle one was split in two. He was crucified on the cross for us. He was split in two forms to shed his blood to cleanse us. So we see the 250, the number two is here. You may say this compound ointment is composed of oil and spices, two different ingredients, spices and oil. So the two number is here. Two number, the number two is a matter of testimonies. That this matter, that our God today is real. It's a testimony that today we all are bearing here to testify that our God is the unique God, but Christ was split for us. He shed his blood for us in order to have his spirit eventually produced. So where is the three? I mentioned already. The three are the three units of 500 shekels. Of course, the middle one was split in half, 250 and 250. So the number three was there. And where is the number four? The number four is the four different kinds of spices. Myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia. Four signify creatures. And man is the head of the creatures. In the Bible, there's four living creatures. It shows that man, as the head of all the creatures, is here. So it signifies the Lord, he became a man. He became a man. And so number four is here also, with the four spices. And number five is clear. It's one pint of oil plus four spices. Put together, that's number five. All the numbers in the Bible has significance, you know? And number five means we need to bear responsibilities. How can we bear responsibility? It's by 1 plus 4. 4 refers to all of us. We are created beings. How can we bear responsibility? We need to have God added to us. So this is 5. That's why the 10 commandments, they are in two parts. 5 on one stone tablets, and 5 on the other stone tablets. And also in Matthew 25, you mentioned that 10 virgins, 5 were foolish. So the numbers in the Bible are so full of news. And all these numbers reveal to us what is in this anointing oil. Of course, the spices, the oil signifies the Spirit of God. In both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the same. I don't want to go into detail, it may take too much time. And the spices, myrrh, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he died, people brought myrrh. So myrrh is for burial. So it's signified the Lord's death. The Lord died for us. And it's also used as a painkiller. So in the spirit, in this compound, in the spirit, that is Christ's humanity, Christ's divinity, his God, and also the effect, also his death, and the effectiveness of his death. Cinema is a shows is a kind of a the sweetness of his and effectiveness of the Lord's death. And calamus is kind of plant that shoots up in a marsh place. So it signifies the Lord's resurrection. And acacia at that time people use as an insect or snake repellent. So it shows the power of Christ's resurrection. Yeah. So in this picture, we see how much this spirit is involved, how much the riches that Lord experiences have been compounded into this spirit. So today, to say, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, is not a small thing. God has to go through all this process in order to have this spirit. The reason this matter of anointing oil revealed in Exodus 30, which is when the tabernacle, which the Lord asked Moses to build for him as his dwelling place, all the items they were mentioned. Then after all these items, the tabernacle, including the Holy of Holies, Holy Place, Outer Court, including all the furnitures in the Outer Court, there was the bronze altar, burnt for the offering of burnt offerings, then there was the bronze laver for washing, they were in the Outer Court. Then, in the holy place, there was a showbread table, there was a golden lampstand, and there were incense altars. Then, in the Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of the Testimonies, with a propitiation cover and with the cherubim. After all these items mentioned, after the priesthood, which the priest served in the tabernacle, everything mentioned, then it mentioned the anointing oil in chapter 30. So it shows today, we all, according to 1 Corinthians, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. For what purpose? The Old Testament picture revealed to us everything in the tabernacle need to be anointed. And every serving priest needs to be anointed. So it shows us that this spirit that we have received regenerated us and joined. We have joined to this spirit and we are born of this spirit, and this spirit today is operating within us, witnessing with our spirit. And we are here this morning to worship God in this spirit. All this is for us as priests to function. Without the anointing spirit, the priest doesn't start to function. So today, do we have the spirit? For what purpose? For us to function as priests. And also, there is a place for us to function as priests. That is God's tabernacle. And every item in the tabernacle is to be anointed for the tabernacle to start functioning. So this matter of the spirit, you will see the picture in the Old Testament, we will realize, wow, The Spirit is so rich. And the purpose of Spirit is so clear. We are not here just enjoying the Spirit for my own feeling. We are here enjoying the Spirit to function, to be in God's house. I'm just so thankful that today this matter is revealed to all of us. That we are here, we are joined to the Lord. We have that Spirit, and we are here enjoying His Spirit for the purpose to serve Him, to minister to Him, and for us to be in the church life, to enjoy and to be built up. Okay, for the rest of time, I just want to mention to go over some of the verses. We have Genesis 2:7. We can read that verse. Jehovah God, let's read together.
Jehovah man
with the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This verse tells us man has three parts, because man's physical body is from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which is man's spirit. But man has a body, has a spirit, but man is not a body. Man is not a spirit. God is spirit, but we are not. We are what? We are a living soul. So we are soul. So in the Old Testament, when it says there were 70 souls went down to Egypt, 70 men went down to Egypt, it means 70 souls. So man is considered a soul. But God's desire is not just we remain a person just living in the body physically, or living in our soul, be who we are. God's desire is to come into our spirit. Let's read 2 Timothy 4:22.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
So today, the Lord is with our spirit, and the Lord with our spirit, the Lord is spirit. So the Spirit is with our spirit. So it's very clear. All these verses, we went over them. In fact, most of these verses, they were in the volume one sheet. So we already enjoyed them very much. And in my own experience, according to this training, my realization is how do we apply he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I feel in this training that 2 points to me is very practical. I just want to share with you. Maybe we can read them together. It's also in Exodus 30. The ointment was mentioned in 23 through 25. And after that, there are some verses in 34 to 36. Let's read them together.
And Jehovah said to Moses, take a
Fire, and you shall take of it, and put some of it before the testimony in the hand of me, where I will eat with you. It shall be to you most holy. You know, the holy anointing oil signifies, you know, all the items in the tabernacle signify Christ. The holy anointing oil is Christ. That's why the Lord is the Spirit. The last Adam became a spirit. The holy anointing oil, God, according to the picture, is Christ plus all-inclusive spirit. He coming from God to reach us. But this spice, this incense, is signified Christ from us going to God, because the incense is being burned, then they are sent before God. So it signifies Christ from us going back to God. So there's a travel, the ointment coming to us. In Psalm 133 also mentioned, the ointment flowing from the head, which is the body, from Christ, the anointed one, to reach all of us. But the incense is going up. Incense is going up from us. Christ is going from us to God. It's a kind of traffic between us and God. So let's read Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense.
Lifting up my hands to you.
The Bible mentions
lifting
the hands is great. Here mentioned that the incense. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. Okay, let's read also Revelation 5:8. And when he took his sword, the four
living creatures and the
angel and the elders fell before the Lamb. Each had a human heart and golden bowls full of dishes, which bowls are the prayers of the saints. Okay, 3:8. And another angel came and gave to the altar, and in the most holy sense of much incense was given. Incense refers to Christ. The incense was added to the prayers of the saints. So we are, our prayer are not the incense. Our prayer is like the golden bowl. Incense, how was it called? The bowl of, I think earlier you mentioned. The incense is added to the saints' prayer. Then after we offer the incense to God, which is Christ, the incense, then there was here you mentioned the angel took the censer filled with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. So this is a picture that he mentioned earlier. There were elders and 40 creatures. So it's a universal gathering in the heavens. The angel took the censer and filled with fire and cast it down. So it shows when we pray and God will answer our prayer. Then God's purpose on earth will be fulfilled. The Lord also teaches us to pray. Your will be done. Us in heaven, so also on earth. So today, for God to carry out His purpose, He needs man's prayer. Because this is the principle of incarnation. Unless there's a man on the earth cooperating with God, God will not do it alone. God will do it through man. The reason is, God has created human beings with free will. Therefore, God will not violate, the principle that force, anyone to do what he wants to do. Rather, he will have our cooperation. So our praying is a practical way to, on one hand, God has poured out himself a spirit for us for our enjoyment, that we can do prayer, satisfy God with the incense ascending to God for his pleasure. And also, through prayer, we can carry out His desire. This time was mentioned concerning all the refugees in Europe. There were so many came out. They are in Europe, in Germany, in other countries. So, the sense is, because all the countries in the Middle East, they are close to the gospel. There are many Christians, even on the news, mentioned they disappeared. So what can God do? God wants to do something. So eventually, God opened up all these countries, people came out. So So right now the burden is we need to pray. We don't want to think, you know, it's just some kind of political, you know, situation. But rather, God has His purpose. You know, when the Soviet Union opened up, the brothers, you know, they took the opportunity under the leading of Brother Lee. They went to Russia, and so many churches were raised up. So it shows that the worldly situation is intimately related to God's move on the earth. And today, we want to cooperate with Him. We want to please Him. So many, there was a special fellowship. The ones came out, they were so open. I don't have time to mention to you. I just mentioned this much. So we can pray. Pray is to exercise our spirit, to cooperate with the Lord. So this is one thing we can do in our mingle spirit. Just like the anointing oil refers to Christ. Incense also refers to Christ. So we need to pray to offer the Lord cooperation. Okay, the other thing. Maybe I should stop here. I just mentioned that another thing we can do is concerning the priest to function. Of course, they need the blood. They need the anointing, but they also need to wash before they start to serve. That's why there was the frozen water labor. So the labor signifies the water to wash away the contamination. This was the Lord gave us an example before the cross, that He washed the disciples' feet. He mentioned in John 13 that when He loved his followers, his disciples, He loved them to the end. And there was some conversation in that Peter didn't want the Lord to wash him, but the Lord said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And the Lord also told him, now you don't understand, but eventually you understand. I have given you an example to do the same. So that washing, that flowing, the water signifies also the Lord, that's the Spirit, flowing river of life, water of life. So today, we can serve, we can apply this one Spirit practically in following the Lord's example. To wash one another's feet. And in fact, I have a verse, but we won't read it now because of the time. And the Lord also, He in His ascension, He's carrying out His heavenly ministry by ministering to the church. In Ephesians 5, it means the Lord loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of the water in the Word. So when we wash one another's feet, the Lord is doing the same thing to us. So He cannot beautify His church. Wash away all our oldness, all our wrinkles, all our spots, so we can express our love to the Lord by washing one another's feet, by ministering life to one another. So at the same time, we are washing one another, so we can have a sweet fellowship. We don't have any the earthly contamination, defilement. On the other hand, the Lord is also, while we are doing this, He is taking care of the church, sanctifying the church, to make the church glorious. So I just want to mention these two things at the end, that since we can join ourselves to the Lord and one Spirit, we can apply these two points. We can pray for the Lord's interest and pray for the church going up, pray for one another. On the other hand, we can come together and to minister life to one another. Others will be washed and we will be washed. And the Lord can carry on His heavenly ministry through the washing, sanctify the church, make the church beautiful and glorious.
Amen.
So thank the Lord for the riches in His word. Let's say 1 Corinthians 6:17 one more time. Let's read that's the first verse.
한번더 같이
그러나
저 앞서는
왕한
영이라